Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, my name is Kate Thorvaldsen, and I'm staying in Laughlin. I'm at the UFO American conference. I will be talking about my close encounters, implants, X-rays, and of course, I also know that there will be a lot of skeptics in that room. And you know what? I'm here to talk about what happened to me and my experiences. And I'm not here to try to convince anyone. For me, I know, and that's a big difference. So I hope to see you there.
Hey, truth be told, Captain Ron here for Tony Sweet. We are at the UFO Mega Conference in Laughlin, Nevada. We're at the Aquarius Casino, and this lovely young lady has been kind enough to sit down and talk to us. I won't say her name because I've tried and I can't say it. It is pronounced
Kate Thorvaldsen.
There you go.
Yeah, but everyone can say Kate.
Kate.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Kate. And she's going to talk to us. I've been told that she's got a very interesting story. It's been going with you your whole life, right? Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about what's happened to you since you were a little kid?
Yeah, I can do that. Of course, my first experience was when I was just 3 years old.
And you remember it when you were 3?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a very good memory from when I was born.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
So yeah, I can just plot that one in first because it's actually quite fascinating.
Tell us.
No, I remember I was in my mother's womb and I was looking at that body that was me and I was in and out from that. And the next moment then I am in a big white room and then I'm inside the body that is me. And then they're putting me on a table and then I remember I was looking like this. I hear voices around me and I was looking at my hands and I was thinking, what is it that I have on my hands?
Almost like you have a conscious memory of becoming conscious, like your soul or whatever.
Yeah. So I was wondering, what is it that I have on my hands? And later on, when I was old enough, I was asking my mother, when I was newly born, did I have something white on my hands? And she was looking at me, how do you remember that? I said, I do remember having something white, strange things on my hands. And then she tells me that she was not giving birth at the normal hospital. It was this little tiny hospital in the next house.
Mm-hmm.
And every newborn child, they had this like white socks on their hands so they will not be scratching themselves.
Interesting.
So.
Amazing to have a memory from so far back. And
yeah.
Even to go from the moment of incarnation almost, like of becoming a soul, becoming a being. That's incredible. Okay, so then what, so you grow up?
Yeah, next time that when I had my first close encounters, I was 3 years old. It was close to Christmas, 1 week. My mother has told me that Santa Claus would be coming soon. I remember she was putting me into the bedroom, into the crib. I wasn't tired. So I remember I was standing in the crib and then suddenly this gray person was coming through the wall.
Like a typical gray alien that we know?
Yeah,
okay.
a little one. And he did not walk. He was just like, he was gliding over the floor. Then he was standing in front of the crib. He was just a little bit taller than me. I was 3 years old, blabbering ahead, trying to talk with him.
Not terrified?
No, not at all.
I'd have been terrified.
I was trying to talk with him and I understood very quickly that, okay, we are communicating this way.
So telepathically.
So I didn't need to say anything. So he was just there to give me the feeling that he was there to see if I was okay.
Wow.
And that was it. And I'm not sure how long he stayed there and then he just disappeared the same way. And then in the next moment, I see this one with one more inside of our craft in front of our big windows that we had in the bedroom. And we were on the second floor, and then he took off. And in my head, I was thinking, woo, Santa Claus was here.
You were too young to even know about these things. It's not like you saw movies about this.
No.
At three, you probably didn't know anything about them.
No.
Unbelievable.
So
okay,
and the funny thing is that 1 week later, Christmas came, and my mother, she was taking me into the TV room to meet Santa.
Okay.
Of course, I was excited. And in the TV room, there is this guy with a red suit, false beard, plastic face. I was screaming. I was terrified. And I did not like him because that was not my Santa Claus.
So that guy scared you, but the gray alien did not.
No.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So when I explained to my mother, that's not my Santa Claus, but my Santa was in my bedroom, looked like that. Then she said, okay, yeah. Because she has seen them and my grandfather has seen them.
Okay, so you're a classic contactee, abductee, or whatever word comes through the family.
Yeah.
So your mother, even at that point, acknowledged that this was happening to her as well.
She had just seen them. My grandfather has seen the crafts, and some aunts and in the family older had seen them.
Wow. Okay. Amazing. Okay, so go ahead. So then what happens?
Well,
as you grow up, is this like a normal thing to you?
Not on a daily basis, no.
Okay.
The next time I was actually 10 years old.
So then you went 7 years without seeing him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was 10 years old. We were living in another place. For me, I was like the outcast kind of. I tried to fit in everywhere, but I couldn't fit in. I was always different for some strange reason. I did not understand why, but I was always kept out. So very often I was climbing up at the roof at night when the other was going to sleep. Sitting
10 years old, you're crawling on the roof?
Yeah, crawling up on the roof, looking at the stars and the moon and saying, please come and get me, I don't belong here. It felt so bad. And one night I did that, and I remember big light, and then the next thing, I'm lying in my bed next morning. But the thing has changed that from me, I was living and breathing for horses, painting horses every day long. Now I was painting little guys with big black eyes and bald heads and
a lot
of colors.
God.
And talking about other solar systems and all things like that. So when
at 10?
Yeah. So when I was really giving the other kids a really good reason to tease me or bully me, they stopped.
Wow.
I think that they were thinking that now she has become mad and crazy or something.
Yeah. Do you think, have you ever thought like now maybe that looking back that maybe you were a kid and you were making this up or thinking it was something else or anything like that? Or no, you just know that this really happened?
Yeah, I did.
You did. Okay.
And then because that I lost my sense of smell.
Really?
Yeah.
So all these weird things. We've had quite a life. Okay, so when's the next time you had an encounter?
Well, the last one
remember.
I was all around 30 years old.
So then you went 20 years without another encounter?
Well, close encounters, yes.
Okay.
But I have a lot of other experiences where I have seen them in a distance or felt them being close, or it's like they're like calling you or something.
Interesting.
For attention.
Now, are these all conscious memories, or have you done like hypnosis, or how does this come?
I have done that too.
You have?
Yeah.
But you had them anyway. You had conscious memories initially.
Most of them are consciousness, yeah.
And then when you have had the regression ones, what did you see more?
Well, the thing is that on my last one, it was very special because I was going to stay in a cabin for 2 months, work on my book. I'm going to be up there all alone. You had to drive 2-3 miles to the next person. So I was really alone out there. I was staying there for a week.
If this had happened to me, I wouldn't go. I would be in a crowd. I'd live at the mall.
Yeah. Now the thing is that I was, having a nice time out there, like the quietness. Then I was waking up in the morning. And I was thinking, am I getting sick or something? Because I had this gray, greenish liquid that was dry from my eyes, from my nose. And I had this was not a pillow mark. This was a big difference from a pillow mark. It was like a really grip from something that was on my face. My eyelids
Jesus.
Here when I was waking up in the morning. And I felt it was weird, but of course, when you're living alone in the cabin, you have to do the fire, you have to make the food. So it came a little bit more in background.
Okay.
So, but when the evening came and it was dark outside again, I was like a stressed animal in a cage because I knew something had happened and I couldn't remember. So I was reading the same magazine 20 times that night, could not sleep. So the next day I was calling the people that own the cabin. Can you please get me back down from here? So they did. And when I came back down, then I could really see the changes on me. Because when I was up in the cabin, there was no electricity. So when I came back down, of course, the first thing I did was going to charge my mobile phone. And everyone knows how terrible a microphone, when the microphone is screaming, That was the sound every time I was putting my charger in the wall.
Really?
So the light bulbs, everything, when if someone was talking to me, the sound was just extreme.
Huh.
So I had, for almost 6 months, I was working with this earplugs in my ears to get the sound down. Even today, people can come to my place and, don't you have any sound on your TV? I do.
Oh, for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think they did something to your...
Yeah, and the thing is, since I couldn't remember it, my boyfriend at that time, he was the leader of UFO Norway. So he know a very good...
Hypnotherapist,
mm-hmm. Yeah, in Oslo. So we went there and put me under to remember what happened. So the thing is that the thing that happened was that I was in my cabin, in my bed, and then this tall gray creature was coming in.
But,
and the thing is that normally, if you take an image of him and turn it into a negative, so it would be the opposite when it comes to the colors.
Okay.
So it was like he was glowing.
Wow.
And then it was like I was floating in the air, following him into the TV, it's not TV, but the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like in the air, and there was this two, three smaller of the gray ones. And then they was putting this kind of a helmet on me. It looked like a bad horror movie from the 70s, because you had this typical, like this arm around here with like a forked thing up in my nose.
Jesus.
And this needle in my ears. And right then I remember what happened when I was 10 years old. So I asked him, please don't let me remember anything more. And from that on, everything was gray.
Wow.
So he was working on me for 2 hours and he couldn't break it.
Were you terrified, like when you were recalling this?
No, I wasn't.
No?
No. For me, it's more like I had never felt that they are there to hurt me in any kind of way. It's like if you were going to a dentist and you had never seen or heard about a dentist before, he will be helping you, but you would be scared.
Correct, yeah. So this is like the thing now. Free did the massive study for all people, contactees and abductees, and that was the conclusion, is that most people feel afterwards, although it was scary when it happened, they weren't trying to hurt them. They were studying them or helping them.
Yeah.
That seems to be like the consensus. That's sort of a normal thing. Don't you have other things? Do you have an implant or something?
I don't have one implant. I have more than 25.
25 implants?
Yeah, symmetrical placed.
Okay. Now, how do you know that's what these are? And have you had them tested? And where are we at with that?
The thing is that I have been joking about it for years. Perhaps I have, perhaps I don't have, because I heard about other people talking about implants.
Sure.
And I had this little thing on my neck here, and a friend of mine, Sid Goldberg, he said that I'm working on cases like this.
Yeah.
Why don't you buy one of those little tiny strong magnets and you try and put it on? And of course, going from joking about it to putting it on, and you, oh, it sticks. Ah, wow.
A magnet will stick there because you have a piece of metal or something there.
Yeah. And then my friend said, and you know what, since your nose has been closed since you were 10 years old, why don't you try it on your nose too? And of course it was sticking there too. So then we had a little research party almost all over. I haven't bothered to take all my legs and my arms, but we took the main body. And I found I had two here, both sides here, 5 in the front, all the way down my spine. Later we also found them down in the front.
Do you have x-rays? And
I have x-rays.
X-rays that show this, and what do they say it is? What's the medical community say it is?
Well, the thing is, in Norway, I'm not sure how it works here, but in Norway, my friend's chiropractor, he had his own X-ray machines, so they did not even put my name in the schedule. They were just sneaking me in from behind, take the pictures, and quiet and out again.
Okay,
we will not put our names on this.
Nobody wants to even talk about it there either.
No, they don't want to talk
about it. Well, I think that's very similar here. We've heard a lot of stories where doctors don't want to put their name to these type of things.
Yeah.
Okay, so they saw that, but is anybody giving you another thing that it could be? Could it be something that you ingested as a child? Could it be?
Well, it's very good to ingest something and then they are symmetrical placed in your body.
Well, obviously that sounds very much, but I'm just trying to think, could it be anything else?
I don't know what it...
I mean, who's coming to that conclusion? Just you or somebody else saying, look, we've tested it, somebody put it there?
Someone has been putting it there. But
wow.
But who have done it? Most likely it has to be them.
Yeah. Who else would do that?
Yeah.
If somebody else did it, you would probably know.
Yeah. There's no scars. There's nothing.
Wow.
And I also have three. Actually, I always forget about those. I actually have three of them that looks like a triangle under my heart. And in our family, we are having extremely high blood pressure, and my mother is having heart failures. Most of them are just turning around 50 and they will die.
Jesus.
And my mother, she's eating a half of a pharmacy all week. And I said, I refuse. I will not take anything.
Wow.
I'm still here.
Scary stuff. Okay, so what's next for you? Are you going to have more testing done? Are you just accept it and that's what it is? And you?
I just accepted it. A lot of people are asking me, why don't you remove them?
Yeah.
And I say that, you know what? I think that they are there for a purpose. And of course, people think, oh, tracking device. I said, no, I don't think that they are a tracking device. I think that
then there'd be one, right?
Yeah.
Why would you need 12 or 25 tracking devices?
Yeah. For me, there was this guy that was actually joking about it, say that, oh, the way they are placed, you are like a walking antenna or something like that. And then I was thinking, that's not actually a bad idea. Because the thing is that I am, the second book that I'm working on now is actually about astrophysics, quantum physics, cosmology, all of that. I have no background at all.
You don't have any knowledge in this area?
No.
But you think it was downloaded to you or something?
I do download.
You download from ETs?
I think I'm just downloading it from the Matrix itself.
Really?
Yeah.
And you suddenly gain this knowledge. Now, see, this would be something you could test. You could write out some of these formulas and show it to
No, that's the thing. I don't write formulas.
Okay.
My book will be without formulas at all. And the funny thing is that I was showing some of my stuff already in 2000 in a documentary in Norway. Just a tiny few pictures, and they were calling me from the university the day after. I was in Bulgaria 2 years ago on a conference there, and the people that were organizing them, they were professors in astrophysics, they were working with space programs, doing all kind of stuff. It was a little bit funny because when I was coming there, I was more or less invisible, and after my talk, I suddenly had the next seat to the leader, and they wanted me to talk, and they want to work with me, and yeah.
And so they obviously can verify that what you're saying is accurate, and you have no background in any of these things.
And the funny thing is, I was asking, what do you work with now? What is the problem things that you are dealing with? And he was telling me, and I said, okay, that was fun, because I was just downloading this kind of stuff just a few days ago, so I can give him the answer immediately.
Wow.
So, but the thing is that for me, I need other science people to have questions that can trigger something in my mind, and I have to.
Because you don't even know what to ask. Because I wouldn't know what to ask. How do you build a Ferrari? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So they will ask, and they will trigger something in my mind, and then I will see it. So when science people talk to me, they cannot talk in formulas. They must talk in normal language. But the thing is that I don't listen to what they are saying. I have to see what they are saying.
Interesting.
Because I'm working
the
in
visual.
Yeah, I have found out that I'm working in the same way as Nikola Tesla was doing. Because he could see his engine like a 3D thing that was moving like a living thing in front of him.
He talks like it was downloaded to him, like it just came to him, and then he was able to draw it out and it worked.
Yeah, so he see everything in his mind first, how everything works, and if someone else is giving him a part, he can take that part and he can put it in and he can see, okay, that part works, that part does not work, and I'm doing the same thing but with the cosmos and beyond and
interesting.
Everything.
Yeah, see, I would want to talk to more scientists. Like, I feel like this would help validate, or you could really sort of prove your case to the world, really, that look at how could I possibly get this knowledge?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And for me, I think it's fascinating, too, because, yeah, as I said, when they are triggering things, new information comes down all the time. And that's the problem too. When I'm working on my book, I'm trying to categorize everything. And if something is triggering, then a new stuff is coming.
Off so over there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an ADD. Yeah. Now, do you? I was wondering if you're doing anything else to sort of document this along the way. Are you like trying to? I'm trying to think. Like, how do you document out when one of these things happens? Like a download. Like you write down that this happened, and then do you immediately try to talk to somebody to see if?
No.
It's true?
No, I don't need to, because a lot of times my science also can be telling the opposite of what other science says.
Oh, interesting.
And as my friend Mark, here he is an astronomer, and he has been trained with the school system, and a lot of times when I have been trying to explain him stuff, he is trying to take my stuff apart or change my thinking of how it is.
Sure.
And I said, you know what? I can't change. I can't change the things that you are saying and change it over to what you are saying or etc. I had to stick with the things that I'm getting. And the things that, the reason why you're trying to take my stuff apart is because that you don't see the bigger picture. I'm just explaining you a tiny little part of it.
See, it's great because he's an astronomer. You could maybe some of the things that we haven't proven yet, maybe you could, like, you may know more than him, and as he's trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and the thing is that a lot of times when I'm actually listening to science people, I see very easily where I actually fill in the gaps.
Interesting. Do you have people challenging you on this stuff?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? How do you handle that?
No problem.
You don't care? You just, no. This is, you know that this is happening to you, and that's it.
And the funny thing is that I so wish that this system, this kind of downloading, if that could work in a daily basis when it comes to school systems, trust me, you will download it just once and it will stick. It will be like a part of you.
Amazing.
So you will always remember it. You don't need to try to repeat it. It's there.
Wow. Amazing. Fascinating stuff. Check her out. Go ahead and say your name in your book and tell them how they can check out your stuff.
Yeah, they can take a look at my homepage, www.katetorvaldsen.com.
It spells just how it sounds.
Yeah. Of course, there you can buy my book, A Hybrid Story, where you can also see pictures of x-rays and, yeah, a lot of also paranormal stuff, all the kind of things that has been going on through my life.
Awesome.
Paranormal stuff, past lives, you name it. But I also, hopefully later this year, my second book will be done with astrophysics.
And that's the book on the astrophysics of the stuff that you were downloaded.
Yeah, and that is called The Creation, where physics and consciousness meet.
Wow. Interesting stuff. For Tony Sweet, I am Captain Ron here at the 2020 U.S.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
UFO mega conference in Laughlin, Nevada. And we'll see you later.